Notice the encouragement. We're going to be with them. He's going to come. He's going to take us home. There's a generation that will never die. We're going to be one day walking or running or driving or be sleeping or whatever we're doing, and the trump is going to shout, and there's going to be a great catching away. We're going to disappear.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, we are in the middle of our study of 1 Peter, and Roel will urge us to stay on high alert for Christ's return. God has promised that Jesus will come again to bring his people home, and this global rapture could happen at any time. As you listen to Roel unpack today's passage, we hope you'll be motivated to generously invest in the Lord's heavenly kingdom, pouring your energy and resources into others as you point them to the salvation he offers. Let's join Roel Reese in 1 Peter.
Notice what he says in verse 5 of chapter 1. He says, who are kept by the power of God through what? Through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Again, chapter 4, 13. He says, but rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is unveiled, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And then again, chapter 4, 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God, and if it begins in the house of God first, then what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Wow. Think about that. If the judgment of God begins in the house of God, then what's going to happen to your neighbor, to your father, to your mother, to your brother, to your sister that do not know Christ? It's very clear what he says. God's judgment begins in the house of God first. Too much is given, much more is required. He goes on. Chapter 5, verse 1 of 1 Peter. He says, the elders who are among you I exhort, who I am also a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Notice that. Man, he's totally brainwashed. The unveiling of Jesus Christ, waiting upon the Lord to come. That's the hope that they had in the early church that kept them going. This was also seen by Jesus, by Paul, and by James and John. In Mark 1:15, Jesus said, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Then in Luke 21:32, as surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. And then in Romans 13:11, and do this, knowing the time that now is high time to get up and awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Wow. James 5:8, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Revelations 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must surely take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And we have to get this mentality in our minds and hearts, because this event, they will happen. It will be an event that will be world known. It will be by the world not only knowing about it, but they're going to be shocked when they begin to see what's going to take place, especially in these days that we're living in. Can you imagine what it must have been like for the apostles to be there in the Mount of Olives, as Acts chapter 1 tells us? And all of a sudden, a cloud came and picked up the Lord and took him to heaven. As they were looking up, the angel said, hey, you men of Galilee, why are you looking up? The same Jesus that just went up, the same way he's going to come again, giving them hope of the second coming again. He's going to come again and stand on the Mount of Olives. Let me show you as we go through now, I'm going to give you some things that are important to know. And I'm going to give you, first of all, how the day of the Lord is described so you can understand. If these are the last days and the Antichrist could be alive already, we are having financial problems in Spain, in London, I mean, in France. I mean, when you read all these articles, man, everybody is really worrying. Especially people that have money, they're worrying. That's why we have to be wise. This is not a time to get in debt and in bondage. And it's sad to say, credit cards. Credit cards. Years ago, we had a guy come in, and his wife had put $50,000 in his credit card in debt. And we've had people come and pray with us. It's really important. My philosophy is, if you can't afford it, then don't buy it. Why? Because you don't know what's going to happen next. We know what's going on. We see it. I mean, how many more signs do we need to know that this is the day that God has spoken about? When he talks about the day of the Lord, as he's going to say here in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, he says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." A thief in the night. You're sleeping. Somebody wants to break into your house. You think they're going to knock on the door? Say, "Here I am. I want your money." No, they're going to break in surprisingly. They're going to be very quiet. They're going to surprise you. He said he's going to come like a thief in the night. When you least expect it, boom, he's going to be there. It is also called the day of the Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, he says, "Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus." On the day of the Lord Jesus, his soul will be saved. It's also called the day of God. 2 Peter 3:12. "Looking for the hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavenly will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat." That's what Peter says. He says, one day everything's going to burn. You can't keep anything. What are you going to do with all your junk? Seriously. Sometimes I go by people's garages. Oh, man. My garage, I'm a Marine, remember that. I don't want no messes. You know what I'm saying? But think how many people, if you look at their garages, you say, man, if you die, what are you going to do with all the junk? Think of how many people they've been showing on TV, people that live in LA in different places, in their living room, in their dining room, in their bedrooms. They got boxes stocked up everywhere. Living among all this junk. And yet we know that the only thing you can take when you die is what? Your soul. Everything else you can give away either ruins people or it makes them stumble or they abuse it or misuse it or some will use it for good or you can give it to the Lord to be used eternally where you're going to get the great credit. Your kids will abuse it, or you might destroy your kids. You got to really pray about that one. What are you going to do with all your material things? The best thing to give our kids is eternity. Eternity, the Lord. Making sure they're going to make it. Can you imagine if you would die and you got to heaven, and thank God we won't have that kind of a mind, but to be in heaven and say, "Wow, my daughter's not here, my son's not here." That would not be heaven. Thank God we will never know that. When you die and they stay behind, they're going to have to make a decision by themselves. And you'll never know if they made it or not unless when you get to heaven, they're there. That's why you got to root them and ground them in God's word today. Because when you die, they're going to do whatever they want to do. They become adults, just like you did. So it's really important to understand that the day of the Lord will come. And then it's used also as the day or the last day. He says in John 12:48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him." He says, "The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Wow. Revelations chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, the books were open, and whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can you imagine your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your daughter, cousin, nephews, whoever it is, cast into the lake of fire? They never, ever go to heaven. Sad. I have aunts and uncles. I have even cousins that have died without the Lord. I will never see them again. I know that. I was not a Christian then. That's why I take every opportunity to share with anybody I come across to. Because we have a responsibility. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, chapter 18, and chapter 33, read it. The watchman warns. And if the watchman doesn't warn, what does God say? I will hold you responsible for their blood. Heavy stuff when you read your Bibles. Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 18 and chapter 20 said the same thing. He says, I wash my hands from all men's blood because I have not failed to give to you the full counsel of God. Paul said that. We're responsible watchmen to tell people the truth. Because if we don't, they will perish and we'll go to hell.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. We'd like to take just a moment and remind you that our goal is to help you grow in faith as you anchor your life in God's Word. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to browse our wide array of resources. You can also download our free app for access to live-streamed Bible teaching and digital Bible studies. Let's continue with more from 1 Peter.
Secondly, the purpose of His coming, number one, is to fulfill His Word. The word of God is going to come to pass no matter what anybody says. It's going to happen. He says in John 14:3, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I love that. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, believe also that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm coming again to receive you where I am so you can be with me. Very important. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that have died. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. Notice that. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So they're going to be there already. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Notice the encouragement. We're going to be with them. He's going to come. He's going to take us home. There's a generation that will never die. Never die. There won't be no funerals. We're going to be one day walking or running or driving or be sleeping or whatever we're doing. And the trumpet is going to shout and there's going to be a great catching away. We're going to disappear. But imagine what the Lord is saying to us through His Word. Then, you know what? He's going to destroy death. 1 Corinthians 15, 25 and 26, he says, for we must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that he will destroy is death. And where is death destroyed? It's cast into the lake of fire with hell, with the angels, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And everybody whose name is not written found in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. And then he's going to gather his elect. Who are the elect? The Jews. Notice, Matthew 24:31. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four corners of the world. Notice, and he will gather them together. Look what's happened already with Jewish people. They were all over the world for 1900 years scattered, and God one day called them and brought them back to the land. Back to the land. They said it was impossible to do that. And it happened in our generation in 1948. May 14th. Imagine that. And then the world is going to be judged. Check this out. This is heavy. Matthew 25:32. He says, all the nations will be gathered before Jesus, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he, notice, will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Who's he talking to? Not us. He's talking to those that have lived here during the last 7 years of world history, male and female, Gentile and Jew, that are going to go into the kingdom age that never received the mark of the beast. They're the only ones that can go flesh and blood. The others are going to get judged and cast into the lake of fire. Check this out. Verse 34, he says, and then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came and see me. And then the righteous will answer and say to Jesus, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? When did we ever see you thirsty and give you water? He says, when did we ever see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? He says, or when did we ever see you sick or in prison and came to you? And then the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Who's he talking about? The way we treat the Jew Israel. Wow. That's heavy. That's why we support Israel. That's why we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And what else he said? Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. Prepare for who? For the devil and his angels. Hell was never made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. But man makes the choice of going to hell. Heavy. Freedom of choice. Accept him or reject him. Matthew 25:42 says, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, he says, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, in prison, you never visited me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or stranger, naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them and saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. I love that. Into everlasting life. There's a separation between light and darkness. Not Presbyterian, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Taoist, whatever it is. Those are religions. What he's talking about is those that have been born again of the Holy Spirit. Those that are true Christians. Those that have repented of their sins. Those that are reading and studying and growing through God's word. They're witnessing. They're giving. They're serving the Lord. Those are the ones that he's talking about. The others that are just part-time, doing this, doing that. It's sad, but it's true. If you're not giving to God what belongs to God, think if God would ask you to give him 90% of your income, you would flip out. He's only asking you, not even for 10%, he's asking you to give sacrificially. In the New Testament, it was 10%. In the Old Testament, it was 20%. If you borrow from God, he says that next week, you pay me 20% interest. You think banks are high interest? God's high interest too. and they would have to pay it back. Think about that. So it's not just my witnessing and coming to church, but it's my giving to the Lord. Why do I give? I give because I want to be obedient to God's word. Why? Because one day I will stand before God. When my kids were real small, we always taught them when they were little to give in Sunday school. So that when they would grow up, we can control them. You know what? They continue to give. Why? Because they know that the blessing of God comes upon, not financially, but God's blessings upon you. You don't give because you want more back. You give in obedience to God. That's the major thing. Just if one church, say 100 people, would give exactly what they had to give to the Lord, that church would never have to ask for any money. Think of a church like this, when only 20% of people give to this church and 80% steal from the Lord. Then how can God bless you? He can't. One day you'll stand before Him and have to give an account to that. That's one thing. When I came to the Lord, I gave to the Lord because before that I stole from the Lord. And I learned my lesson. That you cannot ever outgive God when you give to God what belongs to God. He will blow you away. In the Old Testament, what did He ask for? The firstborn and the best of your sacrifice. You don't give Him your cast-offs. You give Him the best. The best. And then God can honor you. Otherwise, how can He honor our word? How can He honor us? And then when you're financially in trouble, how can you go and pray to Him and ask Him when you are the one that's been cheating Him and you have all this interest you owe Him, and how can He bless you and help you when you willfully have done what is not right before the Lord?
Although we know the rapture is coming, most of us probably spend little time actually anticipating Jesus' return. So we hope today's lesson has filled your heart with a greater sense of expectation. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 is available in its complete form for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165. We'd also like to tell you about this entire study of 1 Peter on either CD or flash drive. This 42-part series will show you how to maximize your time as an end times believer, finding victory in suffering, standing firm in persecution, and looking to the clouds for your Savior. You'll find that when you focus on your heavenly future, you can enjoy God's greatest blessings in the here and now. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Raul's 42-lesson 1 Peter series. We'll send you the CD set for $63, or if you'd like, the thumb drive for just $42. That's 800-634-9165. Or if you'd like, you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Whether you're staycationing or hitting the road this summer, you can easily access our wide range of faith-building resources. Visit the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel for live-streamed teaching and podcasts of all previously aired programs. You'll also find Straight Talk with Raul on the same channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. We are a listener-supported ministry, and we're thankful for your partnership. Every tax-deductible gift helps us keep sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Tune in again next time for more insight from 1 Peter. Considering the world's growing opposition to the gospel, we'll get reassurance that God will be with us in power when we stand firm on His truth and live as bold witnesses for Christ. Now, here's Raul once again with a closing thought.
We need to repent. We need to ask God to really help us in the church. Because we don't do anything unless God supplies the needs. Where God leads, God provides us our philosophy. We can't do crusades. We can't do anything in this church unless God provides. And if He provides, we'll do it. And if not, we can't do it. But we're not going to ask for money. Ever. We're not going to do that. So I pray that you will pray in the days to come what God wants in your lives. If you really want to be solid, you want to be a real Christian, you want to be 100%, then do what the Bible says. Be obedient to God's word, and God will open the windows of heaven. And what does he say? I will pour out my blessings upon you. That's what he said. And I've never, ever lacked bread in our home. God has always provided. Even when we didn't have it, God provided. And that's where my philosophy came from with Chuck Smith. Never, never ask and never beg. Inform the people, and then they got to take the measure of educating them, and then the people have to make a decision. Do I steal from God, or do I borrow from God, or do I give to God what is God's? And you know what? You'll always win when you do what God says in His Word.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.